Is that the lodge?
Lex said.
What a dump.
Beneath the aviary dome, Terratop's lodge was built high above the ground on big wooden pylons in the middle of a stand of fir trees. But the building was unfinished and unpainted. The windows were boarded up. The trees and the lodge were splattered with broad white streaks. I guess they didn't finish it for some reason, Grant said, hiding his disappointment. He glanced at his watch. Come on, let's go back to the boat. The sun came out as they walked along, making the morning more cheerful. Grant looked at the latticework shadows on the ground from the dome above. He noticed that the ground and the foliage were spattered with broad streaks of the same white, chalky substance that had been on the building. And there was a distinctive sour odor in the morning air.
Stinks here, Lex said. What's all that white stuff?
Looks like reptile droppings, probably from the birds.
How come they didn't finish the lodge?
I don't know. They entered a clearing of low grass dotted with wildflowers. They heard a long, low whistle, then an answering whistle from across the forest.
What's that?
I don't know. Then Grant saw the dark shadow of a cloud on the grassy field ahead. The shadow was moving fast. In moments it had swept over them. He looked up and saw an enormous dark shape gliding above them, blotting out the sun.
Yow, Lex said. Is it a pterodactyl?
Yes, Tim said. Grant didn't answer. He was entranced by the sight of the huge flying creature. In the sky above, the pterodactyl gave a low whistle and wheeled gracefully, turning back toward them.
How come they're not on the tour? Tim said.
Grant was wondering the same thing. The flying dinosaurs were so beautiful, so graceful as they moved through the air. As Grant watched, he saw a second pterodactyl appear in the sky, and a third, and a fourth.
Maybe because they didn't finish the lodge, Lex said.
Grant was thinking these weren't ordinary pterodactyls. They were too large. They must be ceratodactyls, big flying reptiles from the early Cretaceous. When they were high, these looked like small airplanes. When they came lower, he could see the animals had 15-foot wingspans, furry bodies, and heads like crocodiles. They ate fish, he remembered, South America and Mexico. Lex shaded her eyes and looked up at the sky.
Can they hurt us?
I don't think so. They eat fish. One of the dactyls spiraled down, a flashing dark shadow that whooshed past them with a rush of warm air and a lingering sour odor.
Wow, Lex said. They're really big.
And then she said,
Are you sure they can't hurt us?
Pretty sure. A second dactyl swooped down, moving faster than the first. It came from behind, streaked over their heads. Grant had a glimpse of its toothy beak and the furry body. It looked like a huge bat, he thought. But Grant was impressed with the frail appearance of the animals. Their huge wingspans, the delicate pink membranes stretched across them, so thin they were translucent, everything reinforced the delicacy of the dactyls.
Ow!
Lex shouted, grabbing her hair.
He bit me!
He what? Grant said.
He bit me! He bit me!
When she took her hand away, he saw blood on her fingers. Up in the sky, two more dactyls folded their wings, collapsing into small, dark shapes that plummeted toward the ground. They made a kind of scream as they hurtled downward. Come on! Grant said, grabbing their hands. They ran across the meadow, hearing the approaching scream, and he flung himself on the ground at the last moment, pulling the kids down with him, as the two dactyls whistled and squeaked past them, flapping their wings. Grant felt claws tear the shirt along his back. Then he was up, pulling Lex back onto her feet, and running with Tim a few feet forward, while overhead two more birds wheeled and dove toward them, screaming. At the last moment, he pushed the kids to the ground, and the big shadows flapped past.
Ugh!
Lex said, disgusted. He saw that she was streaked with white droppings from the birds. Grant scrambled to his feet. Come on! He was about to run when Lex shrieked in terror. He turned back and saw that one of the dactyls had grabbed her by the shoulders with its hind claws. The animal's huge, leathery wings, translucent in the sunlight, flapped broadly on both sides of her. The dactyl was trying to take off, but Lex was too heavy. And while it struggled, it repeatedly jabbed at her head with its long, pointed jaw. Lex was screaming, waving her arms wildly. Grant did the only thing he could think to do. He ran forward and jumped up, throwing himself against the body of the dactyl. He knocked it onto its back on the ground and fell on top of the furry body. The animal screamed and snapped. Grant ducked his head away from the jaws and pushed back as the giant wings beat around his body. It was like being in a tent in a windstorm. He couldn't see, he couldn't hear. There was nothing but the flapping and shrieking and the leathery membranes. The clawed legs scratched frantically at his chest. Lex was screaming. Grant pushed away from the dactyl, and it squeaked and gibbered as it flapped its wings and struggled to turn over to right itself. Finally, it pulled in its wings like a bat and rolled over, lifted itself up on its little wing claws, and began to walk that way. He paused, astonished. It could walk on its wings. Lederer's speculation was right. But then the other dactyls were diving down at them, and Grant was dizzy, off balance, and in horror he saw Lex run away, her arms over her head, Tim shouting at the top of his lungs. The first of them swooped down, and she threw something, and suddenly the dactyl whistled and climbed. The other dactyls immediately climbed and chased the first into the sky. The fourth dactyl flapped awkwardly into the air to join the others. Grant looked upward, squinting, to see what had happened. The three dactyls chased the first, screaming angrily. They were alone in the field. "What happened?" Grant said.
"They got my glove," Lex said. "My Daryl Strawberry Special."
They started walking again. Tim put his arm around her shoulders.
"Are you all right?"
"Of course, stupid," she said, shaking him off.
She looked upward.
"I hope they choke and die," she said.
"Yeah," Tim said. "Me too." Up ahead, they saw the boat on the shore. Grant looked at his watch. It was 8:30. He now had 2.5 hours to get back.